It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Sometimes tech companies wait for us to adopt. Sometimes we get nudged. This week, Apple announced its latest iPhone, the iPhone 7, also a second-generation Apple Watch. And the big news, they killed off the headphone jack in their new phones. Here with the details is Recode senior editor Ina Fried, who we caught on the floor of the event in San Francisco. Ina, they did it. Why?
Yeah, we still didn't get a great answer for why. I mean, the best they came up with is, you know, these phones are getting smaller and there's a lot of competition for that real estate, as well as just a feeling that when we look back at this, we'll be happy we went to digital audio. I don't know that either of those two reasons are going to please the people. Certainly, as someone who always forgets dongles and attachments and has a lot of headphones, it's going to be rough.
So, Ina, these AirPods, as they're called, apparently, are not cheap, though.
So there's two different things. So in the iPhone itself, it'll come with a pair of earbuds like it has in the past that will plug, in this case, into the Lightning adapter. So those come with your iPhone. What is pricey is these wireless AirPods. These are wireless earbuds that go in your ears, connect wirelessly over Bluetooth to the iPhone. And they're certainly optional. You don't have to, but they're $159 and they go on sale in late October.
Anything else that you noticed from the event this year that caught your eye or caught your interest, or is it a pretty basic update as we expected?
It wasn't a huge day of surprises. That said, I'll tell you one thing that caught my attention, both for what it signifies as well as the actual thing. So they had the creators of Pokemon Go on stage and Pokemon Go coming to the watch. Now, for me, I'm a big Pokemon Go addict. That alone might make me start to wear a watch and was kind of exciting. But it also points to what's really been missing with the watch, which is a killer app. And I don't think Pokemon Go will long-term be the killer app. I'm sure we'll all be on to some other game at some point. Lots of people aren't into it. But it really points to the need for these new categories of devices for a killer app. And I think that's what's been missing on the watch.
Recode senior editor Ina Fried. Ina, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
From small devices to big ones, specifically delivery van drones, Daimler AG, the company that makes Mercedes-Benz cars and trucks, is investing $560 million in a company called Matternet. The collaboration will combine automation and drones to make what? Autonomous vans that launch drones to deliver your package to your doorstep? Maybe. Here's Carl Brower at Kelley Blue Book.
They're pairing kind of two forms of transportation. We've heard the use of drones potentially by Amazon at some point in the future, and certainly everyone's familiar with the UPS vans and trucks. But the idea that you would drive the van to kind of a centralized location within a neighborhood, and then drones would fly from there to the individual houses and come back. And if all of those can be automated together, could be very cost and time effective.
As you might imagine, this scenario probably won't happen for a little while. Worth mentioning, though, that one of the companies that buys delivery vans from Daimler AG, FedEx. All week, we have been celebrating the 50th birthday of Star Trek. On September 8, 1966, the sci-fi show that has influenced techies and the things they've built for decades first hit televisions around the country. We've heard from visitors to a Trek exhibit, Trexperts, a NASA engineer today, Brannon Braga. He is a writer, producer, and creator of several Star Trek series, including The Next Generation and Voyager, also the film First Contact. Brannon, thanks for chatting.
Oh, my pleasure.
Is it tricky when you work on a science fiction show in that the sky's the limit?
Well, there's a paradox, and you're right, that anything you can imagine you can do on Star Trek if you can imagine something at all, which is to say on some days you got nothing. The universe is empty.
Tell me how you as a writer viewed the use of technology on the show. Were you really imagining what the future would hold tech-wise, or was tech more of a kind of device to move the plot along when you needed it, or was it both?
You know, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about what the future would be like, because the futurism of Star Trek and its general conceptualization had already occurred in Gene Roddenberry's mind. Any new technology that was introduced generally was introduced because of a plot reason. If anything, I as a writer relied a little too heavily on technological fixes for certain plot lines.
Can you give me an example?
In the finale of Next Generation, All Good Things, Picard is adrift in three different time periods, and to consolidate the time periods, they have to all three Enterprises have to shoot a beam into an anomaly, and it was just a bunch of techno babble, as we called it.
But that finale has been reviewed really well, so it obviously
worked
for you.
It worked. You know, I didn't mind the techno babble. It had certain a poetry and rhythm to it that I kind of liked.
What do you mean it had a poetry and rhythm to it?
I just like lines of dialogue like the inertial dampers are offline, core breach imminent. You know, it's just cool stuff.
The Enterprise is drawing their fire.
Damage report.
The warp core has been badly damaged. There's a breach in progress.
We have to stop it.
Do you think this series and the franchise should ever end?
There's absolutely no reason that Star Trek can't keep going for as long as there's some form of television. I mean, you meet people now. I was talking to a young student recently, and I mentioned that I worked on Star Trek, and they said, oh, the old one? And they were referring to Next Generation. They didn't even know there was an original series. Everyone has their own Star. There are people who just love Voyager because that's what they watched when they were young, and that's their Star Trek.
Brannon Braga has worked as a writer and producer on Star Trek. Brannon, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
You can find all of this week's series goodies, gifts, extended interviews, and more at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.